With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let me bring in Dr. Deborah Ann Mulligan now, professor at Nova Southeastern University's College of Osteopathic Medicine. She's board certified in pediatrics and emergency medicine. Dr. Mulligan, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us. And the big news yesterday, the FDA authorizing the use of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine for children ages 12 to 15, the CDC finding the vaccine had 100% efficacy for kids in the 12 to 16 age group. What are your thoughts on this move by the FDA, this expansion?
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. So first and foremost, Ryan, we cannot overly emphasize to our listeners that the COVID-19 vaccine is our best hope for ending the current pandemic. So typically the question on the table from our parents and guardians is going to be what you just said. What is the current status for children and adolescents? Pfizer just came out. Moderna states their vaccine is 96% effective in teenagers 12 to 17. And both of them, Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna, are currently conducting trials of their mRNA on kids 6 months through 11 years. So as these COVID-19 vaccines inch closer to becoming available for young children and the entire adolescent population, we want to understand more about the parent or guardian attitudes about the vaccine. Right, Ryan?
Of course. And what about parents who say, no, COVID-19, it's not necessarily as serious. If you look at the data in kids in those age ranges, why should I bother with the vaccine? There's more to it than that, correct?
Yes. In our state in particular, there's been a focused staggering of those who are most likely to have high morbidity mortality, vaccinate them first, and then the health providers, first-line persons, next age group. And so you can see it's staggering down the line to the younger children because it is correct that the babies, for example, are not necessarily going to be circulating the virus like a 12 or 16-year-old might. So what we do know about parent attitudes came out of the Kaiser Family Foundation survey last month, and they found that one-third of parents said they'll wait and see how the vaccine works before they get their child vaccinated, and one in five said they definitely would not get their child vaccinated. So, Ryan, just wondering, where might you suspect the fear comes from?
That's a tough one because there's so many different dynamics at play these days, especially when you look at these different studies. You know, politics plays a role in it. Sometimes, you know, misinformation online plays a role in it. What did you find when you looked at that?
Yeah, and if we look for one word, and then, of course, J&J and the problems there, one word, safety. Parents and guardians want to know. What is the safety testing that's been done on these vaccines? How do we know it's safe long-term? And the fact of the matter is, it really is impossible to know the very long-term safety profile of vaccines that have only been used in humans for 6 months. However, that said, no vaccines, none that have been licensed, were found to have any unexpected long-term safety problem that was suddenly found years or decades down the line after introduction. And the U.S. has a robust vaccine safety monitoring system that's been operating for decades, which they expanded for the COVID-19 vaccine to include web-based, smartphone-based, after-vaccination health checks for people who receive the vaccine to make sure everything is quickly understood and quickly gathered with data to improve anything that might need improvement or to notify the public if there's any concerns. So in the meantime, as vaccination really has slowed a lot among adults who are not yet vaccinated, you know, the federal officials are trying to address issues of confidence, motivation, access, and so forth. So undoubtedly, the federal government's going to approve, you know, Moderna and these other vaccines for children so that once they get back to next year in the middle and high school years, they could get vaccinated. That's certainly true, especially with the notice yesterday. So, Ryan, you know what? To summarize, the pandemic's taken a toll on our children's mental and emotional health, their social well-being, their educational experience, and we have a duty to benefit and serve our society as best we can, right? And that includes how do we take care of our children. So I would just say, if I could, in summary, parents and children need to talk to their family doctor. And if that's not quickly available, they can find information through social media with partners, with the Florida chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, like Nova Southeastern University. They can go to the IG account at NSU Davy Peds, or they can go to Twitter, NSU Peds, and all the information about vaccinations is being kept up to date.
Dr. Deborah Ann Mulligan, professor at Nova Southeastern University's College of Osteopathic Medicine. She's board certified in pediatrics and emergency medicine. Dr. Mulligan, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ryan. Have a great day.